This recording begins with the current version of the shir, continues on with a quick review of the shir, and then moves on to the last cycle of the Daf Yomi for the previous version of the shir, which of course has different people involved, a different ambience. You may want to hear both of them and use the second one as a chazar. You may actually prefer the previous cycle to this one's. Today's Daf is Besechet Avodah Zorah Daf Ein Beit. And we're holding at the end of the fifth line, and we've been in the middle of discussing issues that touched upon right at the opening in the question of mixing wine in the kelim of the kechavah, which led to the problem of what we consider the nitsa three, connecting the two containers to be actually a makor of yisur. And we continue today with the questions that are merumas in our Mishnah, where we ended up yesterday just closing and the difference between agreement on price and how the agreement on price affects the kinyan, whether that kinyan had been done with Mishicha or Hagabah or any of the kinyanim that we were arguing about, whether the Akum has it, but the last thing we learned was the Akum does have it, and whether that's done by giving the money in advance, the way that Ravashi was understanding it. But whatever the makor of the kinyan was, we took for granted that we needed to have an agreement on the price before there would be a kinyan. So both of these issues come back to life again today in other contexts. And the first thing that we're going to look at is something that seems to be not directly connected to ours, but turns out to actually be nogeya, the question of agreement on a bright minute. And this is the question that we're going to end up asking for our Mishnah. So we're starting now at the last word there. On the fifth line, there's a guy who made a deal with a friend of his who basically was cornered from him an option to buy his property if he sold. And they made a kinyan of this. And he tells him, if I decide to sell, I haven't decided to sell. If I decide to sell, I'm going to sell to you. The chum is avnina. And of course, as usual in these things, he goes right out and sells someone else. Typical real estate deal. And he goes and sells it to someone else. Well, if he sells, being as they had made a kinyan about this, then the first guy was kinyan because he had agreed. If he sells, it goes to him and gonna come. But so what? They never agreed on the price. You can't consider that to be a smichudah, that something would be kainah. And of course, that's how it connects our Mishnah, because that was the issue over here. Was it considered to be in the Rishus of the Goy at the time that he owed the money, or is it already, or was it paid for with the kinyan that had been done in the Rishus of the Yisrael? You can immediately see where we're going. So it should not be a kinyan. And the Gemara says, and exactly where did Abayin know that it's not a kinyan? That without an agreement on price, you cannot consider it to be a kinyan? Well, it's from our Mishnah, isn't it? Somebody now, selling wine to a goy, if he makes the agreement, so then the money is mutter, because then he's paying him for the yayin of the Yisrael before it becomes yayin nesa, either through the mixture of the kinyan by the actual way in which the goy comes in contact with it. But if it was pasak, a madad achalopasak, if however he poured it out, measured it, and now it's in the kalim of the akum, and only now they agree on the price, then the kinyan is only now, and therefore at this point is already stam yena. And then it's asur. So I don't see how you can possibly, says Abaye to Rabbi Yosef, how you can possibly support your psak that the first guy was kena without there being psikudami. So says the Gemara, what's the bottom line? My haviyala, how do we bother? What do you mean? Weren't you listening? What do you mean, my haviyala? I just told you. It was a Mishnah. There's nothing to discuss, is there? Can it come in? Like we said, is there a way out of that? There is indeed, says the Gemara. Because we might have understood that the Mishnah is basing itself on the chumra of the So maybe in Hachinami we consider a kinyan without pisuk domim to be a valid kinyan. But since in this case an application of such a principle would have resulted in a kula for yayin nesach, because we would have been saying that when he's paying you for wine that was all a kosher wine at that moment, and not to be cheshish for the fact that it wasn't the kinyan because they weren't agreeing on a price, that's a kula. So maybe we're machbra. But in Hachinami, maybe in other cases, Rabbi Yosef would be correct, and the din would be that even without peace of domain, people go ahead and they make a kinyan, so then it would be okay. It's a binding kinyan. So let's see if we could bring a raya about the general application of this halakha. Toshma. Domer vidibar avin uvda havi be Rav Chisda. They had such a story by Rav Chisda And Rav Chisda went ahead, he asked what the din would be by meant by Rabbi Rav Huna. And they brought a raya to the principal from the following, it's a Cheda Tanya, from the following braita, the other Tanya. In a case where somebody now has his workers, he's got his donkey drivers, he's got his abalim, and they are carrying fruit from place to place, and he's selling, and they're going into a certain person's house, and that person brings them into, from his yard, brings them into his own area, into his home. So if he was mashach hamaravu po'alav, they're still now holding the peirot on their shoulders. Now you can't be kene from your, with your chotzer as long as somebody else is holding something in their own rishus, because that of course is the primary way in which we see the dispensation of these things is in somebody else's hand. So if he brings them into his house, and now of course here we're not talking about yayin esek, we're talking about the question of whether we have a binding sale. So the question is, he didn't take delivery really here yet, because it's still in the other people's hand. So bein pasak achelo madada, bein madada achelo pasak. It really doesn't matter whether they agree on the price, and now they count the number of bags, number of bushels that are being delivered, or they count the number of bushels, and then they agree on a price. There's no kinyan here, meanwhile, because there's no kinyan chutz, there's no kinyan of hagbah, mashiach, or anything of the sort. And therefore, both parties could change their mind. And shneihem yecholim lachzor behem, because there's no legally binding kinyan, whatever agreements have been made. The moment, however, that the fruit is unloaded and put on the floor in his house, pirkan v'ichnisan l'toch beito. So then it depends. If there was an agreement as to the price, achalom adad, even though l'maisa now, this takes place before he actually measures the number of fruit that are there, and he's only going to count and arrive at the total afterward, that doesn't matter. Ein shneihem yecholim lachzor behen, because as long as there was a pisuk, then the kinyan is a kinyan. Madad achalom pasak, however, if he's just counting, he wants to take delivery. It was only a question of determining the final price. But they didn't get to a price per bushel, so then the issue is that they never agreed on the kinyan at all. And at that point, shneihem yecholim lachzor behem. You see clearly from here that indeed for a standard kinyan, forget about yayin nesek, nothing in the form of yayin nesek, for standard business intercourse, pisuk is absolutely essential. Without pisuk, there's no kinyan. In other words, our mishnah is on a unique case for yayin nesek. It's a standard application of the dinim of kinyan. Who gave it? Yom lechavre. It was not a mice like this, except this one is more complex because they did agree on a price. So he tells somebody, look, and they make a kinyan on this. It's sort of like an option to be the first one in line to be kind of this part of this property. So he says to his friend, friend obviously means the other guy, he says, if I sell this right, this property, Ms. Benina La'ara, I'm going to sell it to you for $120,000, right? So I'm going to sell it for $100,000. In the end, he finds somebody else and he gets $120,000. And he sells it to somebody else for $120,000. So now they make a kinyan on this. First people made it. So the first guy sues. So Rav Kahana Paskin, that the first guy was zoche in it, although it could be he has to meet the other guy's price. I mean, he only agreed to sell it because he got the price. Can't find that I agreed to sell to you at that price. I never agreed to sell bechalal at that price. Matkiv l'Rav Yaakov minahar pakod. If that's the case, he never agreed to sell at all according to the original agreement. The original agreement was, if I sell this property, I'll sell it to you for 100. He never decided to sell the property based on that price. Fact is, he gets this fantastic deal. This is a completely new decision. So, for all intents and purposes, it's a violation of the original tanai. In a way, we can look at this as being forced to sell, so to speak, because of the better price. Whereas before, I wouldn't have entertained selling. My original agreement with you was based on the agreement that I come to of my own free will, so to speak, to sell. I never came to such an agreement. The truth is, I didn't want to let go of this property, but I can't turn aside a deal for 120. I mean, that's like a once-in-a-lifetime deal, so I had to take it. That's called Zuze Ad. So therefore, the whole original agreement is not binding. Tainas Rabbi Yaakov and Harpakot. This should be viewed as a forced sale. So it's Zuze Ansuhu. And indeed, the halacha is like Rabbi Yaakov and Harpakot, that the first agreement isn't binding in this case. Yes, yes. It's a very important, extremely important issue. Comes up the guy by the dinim of tachlon, and someone is offering a better price, the equivalent of forcing a guy to sell or sell where he wasn't thinking about selling. Very serious issues about these things. As a matter of fact, it becomes the makor for Tuluv v'zavin. Tuluv v'zavin is the din that if you hang somebody up and you say, "I'll make you a deal you can't refuse, I'll be back tomorrow." No, okay, I'll sell. You know? So the din is that it's a kosher sale. Why? Because the Gemara points out anybody who's selling is only selling because he's getting a good price. So he doesn't really, he needs the money. He doesn't really want to sell. So basically you've hung him up to dry until he sells. Now that's also considered to be a kosher sale. This becomes really a yesod in halacha. Now suppose Omar Lay, a guy uses a language in an agreement like this, and they agree on the price that will be determined as it is assessed in three. Now that sounds, what do you mean in three? That's the lashon that you use when you're talking about a court of law. Bitlata, a bet din of three. If that's the case, then what you meant indeed was the way that a bet din would assess. So let's say you get two out of three. Fine, that's a psak. You go with the rove. So in other words, he's looking at the assessors over here as the Beit Din that will define the value of the property. Then even if it's three migot lata, even if it's two out of three ain't bad. But if he says kiriyamre bet lata, the way that three people will paskin, well, I mean, then that's something else. That means that they have to agree. In other words, the way that three people agree. So if you get three people to agree on the assessment, then I'll take the assessment seriously. I mean, you know these assessors. You try to get me an agreement of three assessors, and I'm ready to sell. That's like saying, you know, that it's conditional upon a mortgage at 2 points below prime. That ain't going to happen.
What was the case?
But they agreed on a price, sale on a property. The same case that we had before, except that over here they don't agree on a price. They agree on a price as defined by the assessor. Now, if he uses the word kiddushayme bit, which when he said bitlata meant bedin, and therefore it was the two out of three deal, but if he says bi'arba'ah, then obviously, there's what do you mean? This is the best in bi'arba'ah. So there, obviously, he's using now the language loosely, and he's talking about trying to get four people to agree. That's the point. And if that's the case, then obviously it's not going to go according to the rov, it's going to go according to the unanimous opinion of four people, as many people as he defines. So then in that case, it would have to be unanimously agreed among the four. And obviously, in the case where he says, Kiri Amre Barba, we're over there to even use a language of Beit Din, as four assessors will say. Now, how about in a case where they make an agreement, and they use the word Kedushayim Hebetlata, as agreed upon in what we said means a Beit Din, two out of three. And indeed, three people come, and they come up with a price, and now the guy wants to hold him to the agreement, and he should pay according to what the group had agreed was the correct price. The buyer says, well, these guys are really not very expert. I think we should take another group of three assessors because this is way overpriced. So I say, I want a better group of experts. Omer of Papa, well, that makes sense. Dino Udamahakev, and obviously his agreement to pay the price was an agreement to pay the price of the best opinion that he could get, not just because you happen to pick three assessors. I said, what kind of business is that? Since when does anybody know who is a better assessor? Now you're going to have assessors assessing the assessors. That's all we need. That's like running the U.S. with two lawyers. God help us. So not conceivable, really, but the Hanikin Lutve, I understand. What makes you think that the second group that this is a valid time? The second group being a better group of assessors. What? Because they got a better PR or a nicer letterhead. Well, what makes them better assessor? Maybe on the contrary, the seller can say, look, that's ridiculous. I mean, this is an assessor. An assessor is an assessor. This is the price they come out. We're going to keep going now from group to group till we get a price that you like. The agreement was we get three acceptable assessors and they give us a price. Now, why did that? And indeed, that's how we pass. That is too loosely defined for us to be able to view it as a legal taina. It's just an attempt to get himself a cheaper price, and therefore there's no way he can get out of the original opinion with the agreement for an assessment.
Well, you walked in a little bit too late, didn't you, when we discussed that?
Uh-huh. However, being as presidential decrees, you know, this is the new way that Obama's... He's not a lawyer. Well, he is a lawyer, actually. I think he's some kind of hack lawyer in secret. So, but he won't admit to it, not since Obama became president, which is understandable. So, but being as the idea now is to rule by decree instead of going through Congress, I suppose we better point out that actually, if you said Bitlata, the Gemara said a 2 out of 3, which was basically an old meatloaf song, you might recall. 2 out of 3 ain't bad. So that would be okay for the lawyer. If he said 4, though, now, then you wouldn't go. Then you wouldn't say 3 out of 4. Or if you said the way 3 people say, then it would mean they all need to agree. But now that you got your way, give us
your way. Dr. Commissioner.
Natalata Mashveh. So getting now on to the other issue, which we already touched upon, so you're touching to in the earlier Mishnah. Now in this case, a Jew is pouring out in his store, he's pouring out wine into the container of a goy, which we talked about yesterday as being problematic because of the wine that's in the container, and that, according to one approach, that was the problem in the Mishnah, not Negia, with the actual holding of the kli, but the problem of wine remnants that would have been in the bottom of this guy's Starbucks wine cup, and therefore we had to worry about it. And here, the next Mishnah actually talks about this issue. So now he's taking a funnel and... Sorry? Yeah. No, he takes a funnel, which is the easiest way to pour into the other guy's cup. And he's madada tosu chitoshel avikochalim. Now he's measuring out a certain amount directly into the barrel of the goy, or the container, the sarbak cup of the goy. Chazar umadada tosu chitoshel yisrael. He takes that same funnel, and he uses it for his next customer who's Jewish. That's a problem. Because im yeshbo akevet yayin, then it's asur. If there's anything there that is going to be me'akev, that's our gears, and Yerushalmi, the gears is akhevet, with a kof, which would mean that it's an akev, it's like a bend in the matreh. And in the bend, there would be, so now it is very popular to have that little, what do they call the type of, you know, the spout where you can actually move it from side to side.
Flexible.
But it's got these little,
accordions.
Yeah, ridges in it. So there the wine stays in the ridges.
Just
a little drop. Yeah, but if again, as just pointed out earlier, this is all based on the problem of min bimino. They know about it at all when it comes to Yayin Nesach. It was focused, but it lies all over. But by Yayin Nesach, we saw that we were mocked, but I mean, Bimina. So the Akevet would mean something that would allow wine to gather, drop. Or Akevet would mean something that bends and collects the wine. It's the same idea, obviously. So then the wine would be Asur, because now, of course, this is a little bit of a question. Why? Why exactly? And that's where we're going to get into the problem in the Tachibor again. Is the flow of the wine that hits ultimately the kli of the Akum, in which there is real Yayin Nesach, does that go back up the flow and ask the things in the Mashveh? Which, if it does, the question is, why does it go all the way up and ask the barrel? All of those issues are going to be discussed in the Gemara.
Who owns the Mashveh?
The Jew. Hame'are mikli el kli. Now, in this case, it's a goy. That's pouring, not a Jew. So we switched here from the ratio. A guy is pouring from one container into another container. Then the wine that is left in the container, surprisingly, that he's holding is kosher. But the wine in the container into which he poured, even if it's a Jewish container, the wine into which he poured is us. Vechi'ira l'tocho is us. We're sort of counterintuitive. We're going to talk about this, of course, in the Gemara as well. Okay, tanan hatam. Now, we know, and this is where the whole issue starts, we know that when it comes to dinim of harot, so there, as far as the question of a mikveh is concerned, we have issues of a mikveh. Can you connect a mikveh of arboyim through a flowing stream of water that's coming down of a mountain or out of a pipe? Is that considered to be a kibur of one area to the other in terms of connecting it to a mikveh? Of course, we have the same question like abitum of a taira. Let's say that you would have a lower tank that would be, which is not mechubar l'tara, that you would be metachet bituma, and all the liquid in would become tame. This being connected through a spout of liquid to another upper container, would the upper container also become tame, or vice versa? So this is what the Mishnah there was talking about in Masechet Harod. So over there, what we wanted to learn was the din of Nitzuk is what we've been discussing, the actual stream, that's going directly vertically. Ketafris is basically Nitzuk, except that it's running around, it's running through along a diagonal, so something is now allowing it. It's obviously being pulled down by gravity, but not directly, so it also has force headed in a different direction as well.
Tofeo. And for that matter, even Marshka Tofea, which is where you have a continued line of liquid that is mostly absorbed into the ground, but it's wet enough still that you touch and you can make yourself wet to make something else wet. None of that is considered to be a chibur. Lo l'tuma v'lo l'tara. Either way. In other words, you will not be metame the upper part, or vice versa, the lower part, by touching the other part, but neither can you be metayer. So let's you connect the part on the bottom to a mikveh. That's not going to make the upper part a mikveh. That's not going to be metayer. On the other hand, hashborin, and that's the water that's sitting in one place, that is considered to be a chibur in both directions, both l'tuma and l'tara. So anything that's in one sitting area is considered to be all along one sitting area. Yeah, so sometimes we're sitting still. Nothing is moving, and it's an actual container that holds the wine. That holds the whatever the liquid is. I need to show the machine. Obviously, if a tire, it would have to be connected to water. Umravuna and nitzak v'katafis mashke tofeach. However, is an Indian. It's a chibur leininyaynesim. What did you get that from? I mean, if it's a diak in the Mishnah in Taharot, in other words, you're saying, since the Mishnah stresses Latuma Velatara, it seems to be saying only vis-a-vis Tuma Velatara. Is that where you're learning it from? I mean, even if it's not a Nitzim Gatavis Bashkatofea, Eino Chibur Lolatuma Velatara, Lolatara, which seems to be saying, but yes, for some other mysterious thing, and you're saying that other mysterious thing is the Gavin Yainessa. Is that your diak? It's a pretty crummy diak, as I'm going to show you. So you're saying it's a Tuma. But when it comes to Yain Esek, then it is a chibur. That is impossible, because if you're going to make that diuk, you're going to end up with a classic contradiction, meaning that wherever Mishnah doesn't come to address that diuk, we actually will speak out both directions to make it very clear that we're not limiting it to the sugya. Because then you could get the opposite diuk from the Ashborin and the Seifa. Ashborin chibur, but only the Tumah of Latira. I mean, does that make sense? If the Tumah of Latira, it's a chibur, so like Yain Esek, a koshkin, it's a chibur. What are you going to tell me? Let's be medayik, but like Yain Esek, it's not a chibur. You just got finished saying that even Nitzik is a chibur. So obviously the Mishnah is not built to make this diuk, because it leads you to an impossible contradiction. So therefore, it must be mihalak alamishmamina. That's the rule. Where you end up that the diuk seems to be contradictory, the Mishnah is not coming to address that diuk. So forget about that. Okay? So now, where did you get it from? Well, what about the mission over here? It says, it's not. No, talatam hasheh. Umadad letoch tzluchitor shel ovid kochavim. It says over here, you take the funnel, you pour something into the barrel that's owned by the goy, and then you take the same funnel and you use it, chazaro madad, letoch tzluchitor shel yisro, you pour it into a Jew's container, and you got a big problem. Im yesh bo akevet yayin etz oser. Now look, I'm asking you, where did the Akevet Yayin become usher from? What's wrong with the Akevet? The only possible explanation, I mean, Lav B'Nitzak, it's got to be, because since there's a straight line that's coming down from that funnel into the Goy's wine, which had Yayin Nezach in it, so now it must go back up, the Isser goes back up along the stream, and it ushers the wine in the Mashpech, which seems to be saying, Shmamin Anitzak Chibur. Now, we don't know yet. Tony Rebbe Chia, not necessarily. Because Rebbe Chia's brayta, remember we had this earlier, it's talking about over here, shepachastot zluchito, that over here it's smashed into, meaning it backed up. So you put the mashpech deep into the container of the goy, you started pouring, and as often happens with funnels, the water, or in this case the wine level, went above the level of the lower part of the mashpech. Now that means that any wine that was in there was the actual wine that was in the barrel, not the nitzel. And therefore that wine is awesome. Now wait a minute, that's a brayta. We're saying Tani Rebbe Chia. So then we can now make the opposite deal. I mean, it's not an out, it's an explanation. So from there we can say, I mean, if the brayta that Rebbe Chia quoted has to limit the case to where it backed up, so then isn't it saying that lo pachastot zluchitomai? So then what's it saying? It's saying that if it wouldn't be for that, then lo. Then the din would be that the wine would be kosher. Okay, so then we have a ride in the opposite direction, now that we've got this. So tifshot, denitzuk eino chibur. Then we should be able to bring a raya from here to the opposite. Maybe that's the point. Well, maybe not, says the Gemara. Maybe it's actually not clear. In other words, maybe the idea is that pachasot zluchito, definitely, tifshot, that it's awesome. Nitzuk still remains up in the air. Now, this is what that's supposed to mean. I mean, if somebody says this as an answer to a question,
question. You can say that. He wasn't sure. There's no Kiddush involved in saying it backed up. If it backed up, obviously if it backed up, it's a problem, no? So if you're telling me it backed up, and that's the only way that this is going to work, then you've got to tell me that Nitzik isn't Kibur. Unless you can tell me some kind of Kiddush. I want you to know one Kiddush, that a backup is a problem. What's the Kiddush of a backup is a problem, in which I'm still left to my own devices about Nitzik. Tosef says it's pretty poor kind of Kiddush, unless we're going to say that the Kiddush would be that even though the backed up wine itself, after the Mashpech is removed, comes out of the Mashpech, we don't really see any wine in the Mashpech, but the Akevet is enough of a reason for us to say that there's wine in there. So the Kiddush is that a backup is a problem. Now, I'm not talking about Nitzik. If you hold Nitzik, you're super fine, then it'll be a problem even without a backup, but it's the same problem, because Lamaisa, you're going to answer the next guy's wine, the Jew's wine, because of wine that you don't even know is in there. So that part is a Kiddush. I'm not coming to discuss the deal about the Nitzik. Toshma, ha-me'are mikli likli. How about the other case? You're pouring from one container to another container. So now, et shema'are mimenu mutar. The container that is being poured out of is mutar. Okay, now think about that. How about the wine that is now in midair? Now here it's saying only the wine in the container is mutter. In other words, if I manage to grab another kli and get that wine in midair that he was pouring out, it's usser. That's what you're saying. Why is it usser? Because it's connected to the wine on the bottom, which is yayin nesach. Because you said that the wine poured into the second container is usser because the guy poured it into there. So doesn't that show you that nitzik is chibur, right? Shmamin on nitzik chibur. Sigmar, does that make sense? I mean, if you're going to say nitzik is chibur, then even what's in the first... I mean, if it's a chibur, it's a chibur back to what's into the first container. How did the nitzik stop and become a chibur only at the point where it was the nitzik? That doesn't make sense. So then, if that would be the case, afilu gavidim on an amelitza, well, that's not a kasha. Maybe it's talking about over here that he broke the floor. In other words, because the point is, I'm not coming to address the case. I'm coming to address the principle. If I'm telling you the principle is that only what's left in the kosher, in the tzluf, is kosher. So then I'm telling you, despite the fact that that material in the kosher was never mechuber now to the rest of the stuff, that the rest of the stuff is going to be osur, and maybe only that's why the kosher is mutter, because the nitzik is a chibur. Because otherwise, I could have said to you that until something actually lands in the other kosher, it would be mutter. Instead, I tell you only what's in the first coast mutz. And then you got to use your brains to figure that it's talking about where I broke the stream. That is mikstef ketuf. That is, I pour a little bit and then I pour a little bit again and so on to make sure that it never hits the bottom while it's still connected to the top. Because otherwise, I got to think to myself, why did he put it this way? That only what's left in the upper container is kosher. Even that shouldn't be kosher. Or the stuff in the middle should be kosher. But you can't have it both ways, can you? Okay, but so meanwhile, it's a raya that the Nitzuk is a Chibur. It has to be Miktav Ketuv. Ah, come on. I mean, you got the same contradictions. And look at the Sefer. The Sefer says only the wine in the container into which it was poured is Aser. So you can make the opposite deer. But anything in between is Mutter. So obviously, this is not a proper deer. We're not coming to think about the Nitzuk. Your imagination is overactive over here. We're coming to discuss the part that's in the Kalim. Mehal lecha lemishba. And therefore, you can't bring any right from this at all. Okay, well, how about this? This is a bright hamare michavit labor. You now have pouring from a barrel into a entire wine bor, the wine pit. What do they call these? This is not. So the kiluach hayored misvat chavit lamata. Now, at this point, actually, we think that it means the Jew is pouring, and he's pouring into a non-kosher bor, because we couldn't figure out why would the kiluach be usser, and yet the barrel itself seems to be kosher. So it must be a Jewish guy, Jewish wine. It's all kosher. And only the part now that comes out, but even at the point that it's on its way out, it's coming out of the bor of the chavit. So the kiluach itself is usser. Ha! Now the only way that could be usser is if it was nitzuk. No, says Rav Sheshet. You got the case all wrong. Maybe this case, similar case we had in the Mishnah, it's talking about an Ove Kochavim who is pouring out of the bor. So it's a Ma'areh, the Ati Mikocho.
Why? I mean, if it's an other Chachamim, so why isn't the content of the Chavit also awesome? So then, if you're telling me what's coming out is coming out from the Koach of the Akum, and the Koach of the Akum is Aziz. But if that's the case, then he's also already imparted Koach to the wine that's inside of the barrel. So then the whole thing should be Aser, no? No, I'll tell you why. Because the truth is, we've already seen the Derech of Nisuch is through Maga, not through imparting now energy to it. So if that's the case, it really shouldn't be Aser at all. As we said before, but kocho, we talked about kocho ayyadei davar acher, kocho shelo bekavanam, these were all cases that we had. But all of it, it's all the rabbonim. And the rabbonim were only gozer on that part of the liquid that actually makes it out of the barrel. So as you may say, but I mean, there's already force in there, but the rabbonim weren't gozer on it. So there goes on that which came out. And therefore, since koach dovet kochavim, midirabbonim hudiyasir, avud enafik levaroy gozer berabbonim, but it was only on that wine that the Rabbanon were gozer, and how hude le gavoi lo gozer be Rabbon. Masha inkein, the wine that was left inside, on that the Rabbanon weren't gozer on it. They would pass him like that. And that's exactly, even when he pours bekayach, whatever's left in the kli is indeed okay. And that's similar, in other words, we don't have to now say that he just poured. Even if he imparted kayach to it, the din in our mission would also have been true, that only what's actually poured out would be a problem.
So a libation
is a libation. It has to be a libation, not any sense of like flashing it over to the idol. That's not called derech nisa. That's the derech kavod, that he pours it out directly, not any flash. As long as it doesn't impart any energy to it. Yeah, he takes his cup, he puts it into the barrel, and then or actually he can use his hand and offer it. Either way, but to splash it toward the idol, that's not the, I mean, obviously that's not the derech nisa. Not really very mechubad.
Do we need a flash when it arrives at the resort?
No, here it's usher when it arrives. Well, I mean,
we need a flash.
You're talking about if somebody would really do this? Yeah, obviously if he really did it, it would be takrovas akum. It doesn't matter how he does it. The din of ein derech nisuch pekach isn't that it's not called, that it's ein derech nisuch at a point that it's not called nisuch to be usher. It's that since this is not the norm, the rabbanan did not susan yena, where it isn't derech nisuch. So even if it were done, it would have been considered Nisuch, perhaps. There's dargas in this. We saw there's such a thing, it's not called Nisuch at all. For instance, a solid that doesn't shatter, doesn't flat. Okay, that's not an active Nisuch. Over here it would be an active Nisuch because it's flattered. But the point is, it's not the way people do it. We were never gozer on it. So we're only gozer on what actually made it out of there. Yeah. Now, it's dark, isn't it? Obviously, we had cases before where literally it wouldn't have even been considered a takrova. Remember, we had to be similar to Bivnim. It was not similar. That was Machlok is how far we took that. Oh, Marlohu, Rav Chisdus. We had yesterday, we had Rav's sack about the issue to the wine sellers with an S, how it is that you're supposed to get an agreement on the price in advance and so on, because otherwise he's going to be paying you for Yai Netzach. And therefore, Rav added the idea that if the guy doesn't have cash, you better lend him cash up front, and then let him pay you with your own money, and it should become a loan, because otherwise he's going to be paying you on credit, then it becomes afterwards. Okay, there were other Gedolim in their community who also gave out a list of Hora'ot for wine sellers. So, Amar l'Rav Chisda to the Savita in his area, Ki kailitu charmelov dekochavim, you're pouring out wine to a goy, katfe ketufe, inami naftse nafutse. In order to avoid problems of backup, make sure that you break the flow before it gets down into the kli, because otherwise you're going to have a problem of nitzuk. Now, he obviously owed nitzuk isribu, and that's why he gave this out. Tosus had asked on Rav that he could have avoided the whole problem. One of the ways we were learning it was by doing that. But he says, well, obviously that's a very problematic thing to insist on all the time, and it was easier to make it the other issue if you don't have to get involved in nitzuk. But Rav Chisda held that it was osir. This was the only thing to do. Rav, in his neighborhood, he armed here he was talking about people that would allow, they were workmen that would do heavy duty work on wholesale wine, and he told them, don't allow the goyim to help you pour or lift the barrel. Don't allow them to get, even though Lamai said that's not a problem, because if they're only helping, it was misayeya, it's not going to be a problem. But nonetheless, keep away from it, because lo likrav ovid kachavim lisayeya ba'adayichu, because you You may get tired for a minute, forget, take your hands away, and leave it in his hands, so that essentially he's the one that's going to be continuing to do the whole thing. So you may forget. You may just leave it on him, and then it'll be ka'ati mikocho. No, we say b'sayayin b'mamash b'paskim. So then it would be coming b'kocho, and that would be also because of the gzer of kocho. Now, there was a case where a guy was using a siphon to move the wine. So who gavra the asik hamra begishta ubadish? So he took a full barrel of wine, kosher wine. He started a siphon going into an empty barrel, and now the wine is pouring out on its own into the empty barrel. He's having, you know how the siphon worked. We used to do this in the old gas trouble times. From everybody else's gas tank, you know. They sell them, these little items. You can pump them, so you know, suck, you know. So once you get it started, what's basically happened is that you've created a pressure difference, so that atmospheric pressure is going to cause the wine to equalize between the two barrels. So you put it into the empty barrel, it's going to equalize in the other barrel. What happened over here is that a guy came along, and he thought, oh, that's interesting. And he takes the siphon, with that, moves it around. So now, he's touching, basically, he's touching the end of the siphon in the empty barrel. That was the bat gisha, we call it. No, you're just for each barrel has anyway an end of a little pipe that's coming out. So the gisha, the bat gisha, you put them together, right, and you start them going. So you start one going, you suck on it, you jam it into the other one. So that's the gisha, is the full one. The bat gisha is the one that you're pouring into, and it's the same thing. It's just the way in which it was commonly done. I mean, it started off as tutu.
The truth is, it won't matter.
Well, we're going to get to that. As usual, you're telling us the end of the story in advance. That's the way you read novels also. So, Ata Ovid Kerchavik, and he now puts his hands down on this gishta, and is very curious about it. Well, the gishta, after it's connected, means the siphon. We're no longer... It's just a way to refer to it. Gishta, but it's pouring out, obviously, into the empty barrel. So he touches it. Rava says the whole thing is us. Only if Papa Rava, Rivada Bar Matnal Rava, Ravina said to Rava, you're saying Nitzuk is Chiba, because basically this is a flow, and it's a stream that you're answering. So Shmami on Nitzuk Chiba? No, it's a different issue. Nitzuk Chiba is a gravitational issue, not an air pressure issue. Over here, the problem is that you have a force that's pushing all of this wine out specifically through this pipe. And therefore, since this wine over here, since Kule Chamra, Agishto, Bagishto, Gorir, it's been pushed out, so to speak. So it's true it's being pushed out by the weight of the wine. But that's very similar to the idea we had before. There's a little hole in the side. All of the wine that's beneath the level in which there's weight of the wine that's forcing the wine out, that's not considered to be separate things, even if you hold that normally it's not mechubar. Because the very force now that's applied to this wine is all interrelated. It's all connected. You can trace directly back to whatever level of wine is seeking its level. Therefore, that's worse than Nitzuk. In Nitzuk, the wine itself is really not a player, because it's not the weight of any other wine. You can look at each molecule in itself being attracted by gravity and it's falling. What is that? It has nothing to do with the other wine. In which case, why should I view it as all one thing? But over here, if I don't have the weight of the wine above it, then I don't have any movement at all. The only way the Gishta Bar Gishta works is by essentially viewing the liquid as one thing that's going to be pushing it out. Over there, that's much worse. Then it's a brilliant, simple physical analysis. And therefore, the whole thing is us here in this case, because you have to look at it as one piece. You can't, because you can't consider now the molecules as being separate. They're acting to convey the liquid force in unison. Mashenka, when something is falling, hi, Rich, it's just me. It's always a guy. Will he ever make it?
The only question is really not the three. The only question is the first barrel and the two.
Right.
That is all one.
Yeah, brilliant. Omar Marzurka Breder of Nachman. You have an interesting question on a Knishkanin. Knishkanin sounds like Knisha, and it's actually a mixture of Knisha and punch bowl together. So it's a Knishkani. Kani means straws. So your straws. Well, yeah, this is a Kaddish Kanin, but that's a low-class Kaddish Kanin. A real beautiful Kaddish Kanin is big. It's a big punch bowl, and people could come around, and they all suck on the multi-spouted punch bowl. You know, so it's a lot of fun. Okay. Now the question is, you've got a goy drinking.
Automatically?
No. But it's just a...
Exactly. It's like a Kiddush thing.
Yeah, except that here goes up, not down.
It goes up and out.
Yeah, but you have to suck on it.
Or you can put a cup on it.
No, you have to suck on it. Yeah. Yeah. It's all very sanitary. As long as the first guy doesn't stop sucking. That's the problem. But that's exactly what this is based on. So, where are they going? They call it a fish bowl. Okay. I've never heard of it. No kidding. And that's what it's used for.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I thought we've gotten beyond this, but...
They don't manufacture it.
It gives the illusion of sanitary.
I guess. But that on Amazon, of course. Or eBay. So anyway, the same way that people are hoping for the best when it comes to sanitary issues, we hope for the best when it comes to the Yayin Ezek issue. And therefore, you're allowed to drink it, even though one of the other people drinking is a goy. But of course, that's not even the kind of pasuk Yisrael. It's only if you stop sucking for... Because if he stopped sucking, then the wine that was Yayin Ezek, when I was going back down into the bowl. This sounds like really dangerous kind of halacha. Of a kodam pasak, of a kochavim lo. If he stops first, then the wine becomes awesome. It goes back in. Rabba Bar Ravuna Ikla Levei Resh Galus. And Rabba Bar Ravuna once came to the Resh Galus's house and Shorelu Lemishta B'Knishkinin. He allowed them to use a Knishkinin. Some say, actually, he himself used the Knishkinin. He could have Rabba Bar Ravuna Gufi Ishte B'Knishkinin. Now, it's interesting that there are many Rishonim who learn that it does not mean, it's rather shocking to be saying that the other guy isn't going to be pacing. I mean, what he would do such a thing, and Adam Gadol would do that, and everybody else obviously would learn from it that there's no chashash, you don't have to worry. Very unlikely. Tanya is the Rabbeinu Tam and other Rishonim. That this last piece has nothing to do with the din of Yayin Ezek. They were all Jewish. The question over here is whether it's too much fun. So in other words, since we were gozer not to do certain things at Tzmachot, since the Churban Abayi, so this it seems to be frivolous and, you know, one of these, like, let's all get together and share kind of thing. And maybe as a party game, it really wouldn't be appropriate for after the Zman of the Churban. So the Kiddush is that it was mutter and he didn't aser it, because we do find that there's a Mandi Omar in the second Shabbat that Aser is using a Kaddish Kanin after the Churban because of party games. Because of that, the Chiddush is that it's considered to be a valid way to share. Who gave the Omer Lechave? Imaz Vinana Lalahara, I'm going to sell it to you. Also, Zavi Leidish Achrima. It's almost a guarantee for that. Omer of Yosef Kana Kama, Omer Lechave Lo Pasek. Umino Temer Lekolech Lo Pasek Lo Kana. Okay, so my Havela, what do you mean my Havela? I just told you my Havela. Kirikamrina. And he brought a raya, miyadatanya, mashach hamaravu po'alav, v'ichnisana toh beton, Bein pasak atchlo madad, bein madad atchlo pasak lo kana, because it's still on their shoulders. Ushneim yecholim lachzor behem. But once it was pirkan v'nichsan l'toch beto, then if it was pasak, then even though it's atchlo madad, ein shneim yecholim lachzor behem, because the kinyan is basically done. It's not as it should. Madad atchlo pasak, shneim yecholim lachzor behem, because there's no sbichut da'ad, which shows that it's a universal concern, not only for Yayin Nesek. Ahu gavet yom le chavre. Imez vanina la la ara mez vinina la chav b'mei azuzi. Also, zav le ilin shakrina b'mei avesrim. Omer of Kana, well, he violated the agreement, kona kama, ma'at kivlor of Yaakov and Harpa Kod. What do you mean? He never agreed to sell it at that price. Basically, it's zuzi on suhu. And he'll go talk to Yaakov and Harpa Kod. How about if a guy says Kedushami Bitlata? So then Bitlata would mean Tremi Gotlata, also good enough. And if he says Kiri Amri Bitlata, then it would mean that he needs unanimous agreement of Tlata. How about if he says Kedushami Bi Arba? Then it would even be
a full unanimous agreement of four. Koshkin, if he said Kidiamri Barbo. Omale, Kidishami Betlata, and indeed come along Tlata, and they agree, and then the buyer says, I want a different Tlata. So later Tlata Khrin Kim Litzve. Omrav Papa, do you know the Maki? Maki Lavruna Brother Ashurim me Maidani Kim Lutve. Demahanikim Lutve. You can't say that's now what it has to mean. Where are you getting that from? I mean, if it's the diak in this Mishnah, Nitzavka Katafras and Mashke Tofeach, and if we're Lola Tumava Lola Tara, and you're being Medayek, the Tumava Latara, would it have a Chibur? Holy Ninyay Nesach, have a Chibur, that's not a very good diak. Because they must say, Ashbor and Chibur la Tumava Latara. Surely you're not going to say that it means the Tumava Latara alone, it's a Chibur. But for Yayin Esek, it's not a chibur when you just said that even Nitzik is considered to be a chibur. Elam yalek elam ishma, amina. It's not. Natal ta mashpech, u madata toch slochito shal avit kochavim. V'chazara madata toch slochito shi Yisrael. Im yesh bo akevet Yayin asur. Now, how did the akevet Yayin itself become asur? I'm asking you. Lav ben Nitzuk, which proves that Nitzuk is chibur. Tani Rebbe Chia? No. Not necessarily. But you're saying that's the case then, in the Braita. So then, lo pachasatu tzluchito, my. Lo? So then let's bring it right in Yitzhakeinu Chibur. Well, no, I mean, pachasatu tzluchito, we could say, tipshot lacha di asur, and the chiddush is that you have to worry about the wine. The nitzuk is now come to address. That's still a question. Toshma, hamiare mikli likli, etchimare mimeno mutar, which implies that Beini Beini is Asur. So Shmaminan Nitzak Chibur. What do you mean Shmaminan Nitzak Chibur? If Nitzak Chibur, then I feel the Gavi Demon should also be Asur. But that doesn't bother me so much because maybe it's talking about the Miktav Ketufe, and that would be the only case. In which case, we're left with the clear implications that Nitzak is the Chibur. Nuvela Taimech, Ema Seifa, Etchi Irala Tocho, who the Asur, the Beini Beini Shari. So clearly, me all like Shmaminan. Okay, tashma, me'are mi'chavit lebor, ki luach, hayored misvata bor lamata, misvat chavit lamata, is osir. I assume that means that a Jew is being me'are. Tirgum Rav Shesh, no, it's talking about an Oved Kochavim who's being me'are, where it's ati mikochot. If it's an Oved Kochavim, so then why is it what's inside the chavit asur? Because klar Oved Kochavim is min rabbonin who the osir. So therefore, the gezer was only on Ahud and Afik Lavroi. There goes Rebbe Rabbanan, but Ahud and Lagavoi, lo goes Rebbe Rabbanan. Amalur of Chisla Hanu Savita, ki chaylitu charmel of Deko Havim, katfi ketufi na minavci nefutze. Amalur Ravel Hanu Shvuchoi, ki shavchitu charmel, lo likravo vetkochom lesayye abadaychum. Dilma mishtalitu vishaditu leyalei, vekaati mikochom, and then obiyasu. Ahu gavad asik hamra begishta ubad gishta. Ata vekochavim anach yadei agishta. Asrei rova lekule hamra. Omle rov papal rova. Some say it was rabba matal rova. Some say it was ravino rova. Are you saying now that benitzuk? And then shmame la nitzuk ribur? No. Shani hata because kule hamra gishta ubad gishta gorir. Omar marzurka bereder of nachum. Kenishkinin shori. But animi lekonam pasik yisro. Konam pasik akum lo. Rabba Baravuna Ikla Vereshkaluta Charlo the Mishta Beknishkinin. Ikriyami Rabba Baravuna Gufe Ishta Beknishkinin. Following is the daf from the year 2003 in the previous cycle. Okay, we're holding on daf Ayin Beis, Haman Aleph, in the second Sefer Zohar. And we were in the middle of the discussion of what the din is the Gavi Mashicha of the Nevik and Chodesh. In order to prove the question of whether Mashicha of the Nevik and Chodesh is going there or not,
we opened up with the sugya of Rabbi Yochanan, that a goy that steals Pachas B'Shavuputa from a Jew is chayiv misan, is ner agaleha. And we thought originally that we could prove from that that obviously Mishikha B'Rabbi Yochanan is kainer, because otherwise, as Tesis understands it, the issue is there's no element of Geneva. He doesn't gain anything because he doesn't have a Shavuot. He hasn't taken anything because Bashir isn't Tainan. Nobody's lost anything. So how exactly is that Geneva? Unless the act of Mashiach per se is considered to be a Kenyan, and therefore in the same way that if a Jew takes up the Kenyan Gezeilan, if that itself is Makayat and Megabi Yaisin and so on and so forth, that's the Chiyuv. Megabi the Goy, that becomes the Chiyuv of the Chiyuv Misa, because he's never argued about. And the Gemara was Doche the Raya, and it said that he's not Nerag because of that, he's Nerag because of the victim, not because of the act of stealing. So he was Mitzayah the Yisrael. That's how we understood it until now. As the Gemara on the second line in Amin Aleph, Yehoki Ema Sefer. That's the case, how do you understand the continuation? The continuation reads, Bacha Beroven Atlami Menu Nerag about, that if another guy takes it from now, this first guy who steals it, he too would be Nerag. So now, it's got to be that it's not a function of the victim any longer. So here we're talking about an akhuz. It's got to be that it's an act of geneva. So bishlei, now you can get away with saying in the first case of the reishim shem b'tzari v'yisrael, that the reason that he's chayav is not because of the act per se, but because of the results, the effect on the yisrael is the victim. Now the seifa, my other, what did he do in the seifa that's going to be machayav? Ela shma mina, mishicha bo'avei kochavim koneh, shma mina. And here we have clear right it. That the act of Mashiach is a kinyan by an akhuz. Now, who gav yom le'chavre in mezavimina la'ha'ara l'cha mezavimina? Somebody makes a deal with another friend, and he gives him the right, basically, to buy land, in a, and he does this contractually with the kinyan. He says, I'm not prepared to sell, but if I will sell, I'll sell to you. And of course, we know what always happens in those cases. He immediately goes out and sells somebody else. Azal zavdem l'nishachrina. Nonetheless, the first one was Cana because the kinyan that he made with the first one was binding, and since he's obviously prepared to sell because he sold to someone else, so we, you know, the kinyan from before. Sorry?
That was a
maisa
or just
the bar? No, the maisa kinyan. The bar is a machayev and all. How can you say that the first one was Cana? Obviously, there was no gemiras das with the original kinyan because there was no pisuk of money. All he said was, if I sell, without saying how much I'm selling for. Now, obviously, the guy figures if he wants to get out of it, he'll name some kind of exorbitant price that I'll never agree to. Then I have to release him from any agreements, and then he can do what he wants anyway. So there was no, certainly no gemirat da'at, and we know that a kinyan without gemirat da'at is meaningless. So the assumption over here is that without pisuk damim, a kinyan doesn't help. Where does a buyer come with this idea that unless there was a clear-cut definition of the amount, that it's not a kinyan? If it's none, look, that's our favorite case that we just had yesterday. Hamocher yayin lovei kochavim, pasak at shelo madad damav mutari, madad at shelo pasak damav asuri. Now we understood our Mishnah, that the Mishnah was telling me that as long as there can be a kinyan mashiach, before the guy touches the wine, then the money that he's paying is for the actual kinyan and not for the yayin nesach afterwards. What defines that? If there was a set price in advance. You see that a set price is koveya, whether the mashiach was a kinyan or not. Is that going to be true over here? Says the Gemara. So, okay, interesting. My havi alach, what's the bottom line? What do you mean, my havi alach? Actually, I just proved it, didn't I? What's this question? What's the bottom line? No. Because Dilma woman the Ayin Netzach Shaini, you can bring a raya from a normal case. But a case, in the case you're bringing a raya from an Aura Mishnah, reflects the din of Ayin Netzach. Remember that we're much more machmer by Ayin Netzach. It could be that the Chachamim were machmer over there to view the Fisarna. Fisarna don't need to be a Fisarna in the Kinyan of Mashiach. It looks too much as if. When they do settle, but that's the point the kinyan was made, is that's to repay you for yayin nesach. To avoid that, they were gazing that unless you had a piece of gummim in advance, you're not going to be able to accept the money. But maybe the ikra din, really, pisuk is not generally required in order for a kinyan to be chal. So in a case like this, a purely secular transaction, doesn't involve any history. It's a simple transaction. I mean, they were not marksmen on piece of dummy to say that we need it for Gemara's das. Okay, let's see if we can bring a riot from somewhere else.
Well,
touch
mine. He just got Metzrai. He doesn't have to worry about the next
door
neighbor
in the case of Mulan. No, we're not talking about a case of Bar Mitzvah.
You know what?
We're not talking about a case of Bar Mitzvah. It's Bar Mitzvah. He made a kinyan with someone to sell it to him.
He doesn't have to worry about the Bar Mitzvah of the neighbor having.
And maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. If it's a case of Bar Mitzvah, it'll be another problem. And we really need to look into other questions. There's no Bar Mitzvah in this case. Tashmad Yom Ravidi Baravi, Uvda Havi Be Rav Chista. What was the Meister by Rav Chista about this question? He went to ask by Rav Huna. Upashte Rav Huna brought a raya from the following price, I should say. He heard the Tanya. Mashach Kamaravu Po'ala, Vichnisam Latov Beito, Ben Pasak Achalo Madad, Ben Madad Achalo Pasak Lo Kana. If somebody went ahead and he takes an order from someone, that was on the back of the donkeys, it was on the back of the po'alim that were delivering it. And he's mosheich now the po'alim. Now, mosheich on po'alim is not a tinyan on the peres. The peres remain attached basically to po'alim. We don't view that as an act of mosheich. So over there, it makes no difference whether there was a piece of tumim, there wasn't a piece of tumim, before he counted the merchandise that was delivered and so on. There was no kinyan over here, and shneim yecholim lachzor b'hem, because it's still on the poalim of the balabayit. But pirkan, if he unloads the schora that's delivered, v'yekanisam l'toch beito, and he brings it into his rishos, now his rishos would be kaina. Forget about Mashiach, I mean, some have a kinyan chaser over here. So then, it depends. If pasak atshavo madad, ein shneim yecholim lachzor b'hem. If they knew exactly what the price was per unit, and then they count the units, and now it's, then that's it, it's over. Because it's in the Rishos, because Rishos is kind of. But if Madad Achalo Pasak, even if he counted the number of units that were delivered, if he didn't know what the price was yet, then they could still, either of them can have Charata, because the fact that it's in his Rishos without a piece of tumim doesn't mean a darn thing. In which case, in our case, where we have now a kinyan that I was selling the land and I don't say what I'm going to sell it to you for, it's a totally meaningless kinyan. And if I go ahead now and sell it to somebody else, then that would be fine. Now there was another case where they did define the amount of money in advance, and he makes a kinyan with a guy in which he commits himself to saying, if I end up selling this land, it's to you that I will sell it, the Ne'ezus. And this is the price, 100 zuz. In the end, he goes and sells it to somebody else for 120. So all those other moves are green, but may have been. So the question is over here, it seems that he's willing to sell. And if he's willing to sell, then he had a binding kinyan that he was going to sell to somebody else. So Amar of Kana, Kana Kana. So Rav Kana said, well, look, you know, the guy was willing to sell, then the first guy has a tviya from his original kinyan. Master for Rav Yaakov Minahar Pekod, Rav Yaakov Tainet, it's not true. Because in this case, there's no indication that he would have been willing to sell at the original price. The only reason that he's selling is because he's desperate for money and he was offered 120. So for him, so it's the Zuzi that I'm sure, essentially he's an onus in terms of the sale. Because he's pushed into it by the additional value that he got. If you put him back to the original sale at 100, he'd say, I don't want to sell. So how can you say now that that kinyan was binding when he never agreed to sell for that money? And therefore, in this case, he should, the second guy is king. Now, if a guy goes, the Hilchos of Rabbi Yaakov Ben Hapakod, and that's in fact the way that we pass it. Omar like it is shiny, it's lazim. Suppose he makes an agreement to sell to someone according to the professional estimate of assessors bitlata. Now, bitlata has a strange double meaning, because when you want to define the way that something is done in Bezdin, you say bitlata. Like this, if it would have been a number beyond the guy would have said, I want five assessors. I would have understood that. That means five assessors should agree and should come out between them with an agreed upon value. But if the guy says bitlata, then it's mashma with a procedural basis of a Beit Din, in which case, after you trade me, go to lot. Then it would be even 2 out of 3, because he's saying, just like a Bezdin would have been a rogue. But you're also, I mean, the way it would have been postured in a Bezdin. On the other hand, if he would say something like "Kida Amri Betlata," so then the way that it works out with three people, then it's already not a bezdin. Then it's three people, and for that matter, if he would have said, he wouldn't need a complete agreement between them. They'd have to arrive at an agreed upon amount, not to vote on it as a rule. Kiddushaymi be'arba'a, but if he starts off with the word Kiddushaymi and mentions a number other than three, then he means obviously not Bezdin, even though he said be'arba'a. Because it's Adami be'arba'a, otherwise what's he mentioning four? I mean, the point is he wants four professional assessors to agree. V'kosha came, hey, it could be on the Kiddushaymi be'arba'a. I mean, obviously he would have said Kiddushaymi be'arba'a. Suppose he says, Bitlata, three people come, they're shamit, and then the other guy says, well, you know what, I have people that I think are more professional. I don't like this estimate. Classic. I don't like this estimate. So I have another, I have a more professional group. There's another group that can do a better job. On Republic, new to the market. So then he could be Ma'akim if he claims that it's better. How could he ever say that one group is better? Whenever you're dealing with something that's a question of a judgment call, you don't really have any objective standards to be able to say that this group was more accurate than another group. I mean, as long as they're all professionals, and so how are you going to be able to determine what's what? It's very interesting that halacha l'maisa, there's a lot of consideration in the Peskim, the Shach also talks about it. If one group is actually recognized professionally as a more expert group, whether the expertise per se is definitive, or whether what the Gemara is asking is on any particular piece of property, who's to really say that their general expertise is going to be more meaningful? But, which, I mean, anybody that's Isaac in the issue knows that's true. I mean, you know, you bring an expert for him that doesn't really know the area and so on and so on. You know, say, this guy knows better. It's very difficult to be kovei at such things. It might, it's left at a suffix about how, whether expertise per se would be sufficient to be doing for the other Rammsteiner. The Hilfesek of Rinnabur is Yeshua, and that's the way we pass it, that you can't really define that Hanikim Lehutvei. Getting back to Yanni Nesar again now. A man takes, he's pouring some wine from his store, in his store, from a barrel, into, and as the minig was, to pour into the kalim of the purchaser. And over here, the guy brings his smaller container in. The guy takes a funnel. He puts in the funnel, he pours the wine through the funnel into the container of the akum. Then he takes that same funnel, and the next guy walks in as a Jew. He puts that funnel into the Jew's container and pours into the Jew's container. Im yesh bo akevet yayin asur. If there's something in the container that will contain a little bit of wine, let's say it had a rim or something around the bottom, then the Jew's wine is asur because we're afraid that there was still wine from the guy's container. It had been usher, and now that got mixed with the wine that was poured into the Jew's container. Hamne'arem ikli yalkili. Et she'ira mimenu mutar, et she'ira letoko asur. Now this doesn't seem to say you anything very clear at all. The Gemara is going to come out that what it means is that if a guy is holding a container of wine, he pours into another container, then the container that he's pouring from is mutter, and the container that he's pouring into is asur. We discussed this earlier. Tysus brought this up, which after the other sugya of kochon and so on, and holding from the outside, mentioned this. We've already discussed this a little bit, that shvicha is an act of nisuch. So that's basically the way they do nisuch, and then there's something to show, shvicha. So therefore, what comes out is considered to be be'etzem yayin esem. However, the question of holding the keichai, we weren't gozer on the assumption that it was nesa. And so, mamela, as long as there's no negia on the yayin itself, it's muta. Says the Gemara. So now, Hassan, it's obvious the first thing that strikes you when you read the Mishnah is that you're going to be dealing with the question of the mashpech. Is also the assumption is that the mashpech is also because you poured the wine through the funnel into the container of the goy, and since there was some little bit of wine from before in the container of the goy, the moment that the column of wine touches the bottom of that container, it mixes with wine, and now the iser is transferred back up into the funnel, which of course is a question of nitzuv. We said all along, is nitzuv chibur or is it not chibur? And that's why the first thing that the Gemara raises over here is that question. How do we view nitzuv? Now, we know that when it comes to the question of tumah, we have a Mishnah b'Feirush that tells us what the status is of nitzuv. And then, there we have to question in both directions. Is nitzuv considered to be mitameh, so that it's all one thing, that someone's tummy touches the bottom, then the whole nitzuk goes all the way back up, and everything is done. There would also be a question as to whether nitzuk is a chibur l'gabei taira. So let's say that you have a little, you have a mikveh, and you have a little puddle on one of the stairs of the mikveh, and there had been some water there that is now dripping down into the mikveh that a bit of, somebody got out before and splashed the water. Now you want to be taivo a needle in that little area. So is the dripping water that's coming out of the area, is it considered to be now a chibur to the mikveh or not? So it goes in both directions, we have to know whether nitzuk is a chibur. What were you asking?
Didn't we say at one point there was a container of the avira, the container, and once it...
That was the guy in Meshicha. So it says the Mishnah over there, a nitzuk. So nitzuk, we know what that is. Ketafris is similar to nitzuk, except that it means a flow along the surface. So if you have an incline, then the water that's flowing down is certainly not a nitzuk, not a column, but it's a flowing surface. And, for that matter, mashketoseach, if you have a damp surface, nothing's flowing, but it's damp. And when we say it's damp, we have to distinguish between tofeach and tofeach hamanat lahatpiach. Tofeach means that you feel it as being damp, so the water is detectable. Tofeach hamanat lahatpiach is that if you'll touch it with your finger will not get damp. You'll have moisture on your finger. What we're talking about over here is tofeach, but not tofeach hamanat lahatpiach. So in all of these three cases, eino chibur lo l'tumah v'lo l'tahara. When it comes to tumah v'tahara, either way, it's not a chibur. On the other hand, ashbore, if you have water that's sitting still on a surface that is indented, ashbore literally means a crack, so that's chibur, both the tumah and the tahara. Omer v'una, nitzik v'ketapas v'mashka tafeach chibur le'inim yayinetzah. When it comes to yayinetzah, it is a chibur. It's only for tumah v'tahara that it's not a chibur. Omer le Rav Nachman le Rav Huna, how do you know that? Minolokoha. I mean, is it a diet in the Mishnah that I just quoted? I mean, Eli limited to Zana Nitzik like a tapas and mashka to fair kind of Hebrew lola to mother lola to Tara. And you now want to say, aha, why does it mention lola to mother lola to Tara? Because it's telling you only vis-a-vis Tuna the Tara is not a Hebrew, but in terms of other dinim such as Yayanet, it is a Hebrew. And that's how you understand the Mishnah. Well, then you're going to have a hard time understanding the rest of the Mishnah. Let's see that inside. So you're telling me the Tumah v'Tahara, who do I have a Chibur? Holein yin yayin netzav habi Chibur. That over here, when it comes to yayin netzav, you're telling me it is a Chibur. So how are you going to understand the equivalent of the Sefer, where it says, Hashborin, Chibur the Tumah v'Tahara. So then you're going to tell me, only the Tumah v'Tahara is a Chibur. But not the yayin netzav. If even Nitzav is a Chibur, the Kodesh Kenne Katar is obviously. The Mishnah wasn't coming to address Tumah v'Tahara and not something else. It was just kind of to tell me that Tumah v'Tahara are equivalent, that's all. So Elamei Halak, Elamei Shema, I mean, obviously for this Mishnah, you can't make any diyukim as to what the halacha should be legada yayinata. Okay, so maybe let's take a look at this Mishnah. It's not. No, talata mashpeh. So we have our Mishnah. Apparently the storekeeper was holding the funnel. He pours through his funnel, the Toksu Chitoshel of Eko Chavim, and now it says that if he goes, that he uses the same funnel, the Chazar Madad, the Toksu Chitoshel Yisrael, in the Eishbo Akevet Yayin Asur, if there's anything in there that could have held back some wine, then the Jewish wine is also Asur. Now how the heck did the wine in the funnel become Asur? Explain to me. L'cha'ora, the only way it became Asur is because there was a column of wine that was pouring out of the funnel into the container of the goy, and now the yitzhak went back up into the funnel. How did they come out? So how came it gained the Michael Mitzra? Love the Mitzra. The only way it became Osir Lechora was from the column. Shmamina Nitzuk Tzibur. Tony Ripfian, who says? Maybe it's talking about Shepachat Tosulukitas. Starnberg smashed it into the guy's thing. Nobody's holding it up in the air and pouring. He puts it down into the kli, or on the top of the kli, and then the wine comes up and actually touches the bottom of it. So once it touches the bottom of it, you don't need nitzuk at all. Pachasto literally means smashes it in. I mean, we had that by the Avodah Zarah. Going to pichasto means you smash the face. And you smash the face. But same lashon, pichasto. Okay, so what are you saying then? Excuse me. You're saying, so avalo pichasto tzlichuto mai? It's a brayta. Rav Chiya is saying this in a brayta. It's the brayta that defines this Mishnah. So, okay, very good. So let me be medayik from the brayta. The brayta says the only way that it's usher is in a case where you force the funnel into the container itself. Well, what forces you to say that? Because obviously you hold that nitzuk is not a people. And the only reason that it's usher is dafka because you pushed it into the container itself. So now I'll be medayik the other way. So what would be the din? Avalo pichatzot shlukito ma. So the din would be that what? Lo. But in that case, there would be no problem, and there would be, even if there's an akevet yai in there, there's no issue. So now I use the brain to tell me the opposite here. That clearly nitzik is not a kibur. No. You misunderstand the brain. The brain just wants to come to tell you what you can know for sure. It's not coming to tell you that this is the only case. Rav Chiya is saying, if you're reading this Mishnah, then limit the assertion of the Mishnah to a case of pachatot luchito. In the other case, you don't know. I don't know. You can't tell from the Mishnah. That's all he's saying. So the way to understand the Braisa is that Tachasot Sluchito, fine. In a case where he definitely inserted the funnel into the container, then the Mishnah is saying 100% that it's Asa. If the problem was the column, the Nitzuk, I don't know. Keep up. That still remains questionable. But we're certainly not giving an absolute psak one way or the other over here. So we still have no raya legabi the dinam nitzachim. Let's take a look at the next case, Tashma. Hami'areh nikli likli, etchi ma'areh mimenu mutar. What does this mean exactly? You're pouring from one kli into another kli. So then the kli that you're pouring from is mutar. So what does that mean? In other words, even though it's being poured into something that's aser, like a goyish container, the thing that I'm pouring from is mutter. But the implication is that the middle part, in other words, there's three components here. The kli that I'm pouring from, the kli that I'm pouring to, and then the nitzik that connects them, which is the beni-beni. That's the part in the middle. So mashma hada beni beni asur. Only what's in the container is mutter, but anything that's on its way into the container of isur is asur, which would be a riot of nitzik chibur. The shvamin of nitzik chibur. Now hold on a second. Wait. If nitzik is chibur, how did it not go back into the barrel and out of the barrel? I mean, it's contradictory. In a nitzik chibur, afkilu the gavedam on an amilus. I mean, so then why don't we talk about the barrel that you're pouring out from will now become usher because of the mitzvah chibur? This is a question really we've had all along that Moshe Baruch brought up before. I told you we'll be discussing it. So why doesn't the barrel itself become usher? Ahalokash, I mean, you see, in any of these cases, we want to distinguish. We want to set up a case where we don't have to worry about the nitzik application to what it was coming from. I mean, otherwise, it's all going to be one closed system. We're not going to be able to discuss anything. We're taking for granted that what he did was, he was cut up to tufi, meaning he cut it off. He pours, and as soon as this thing is about to touch the bottom, he stops. Meanwhile, the nitzik continues. But it never is one continuous flow from the top that already touched the bottom. So in other words, let's take the barrel on top out of the issue. That barrel is mutter. But the diuk is what's important over here. Anything that's left the barrel already is also, even though it never landed in the kli. How did it become aser? Only because of nature. That's my diuk. And we're not discussing now the problem of the initial barrel. So therefore, what we're talking about over here, Kasha, don't bother me about that. Become mikta ketufi. But become of them. The bottom line is that we see from a nitzik chibur. No? No. Because then you take a look at the way we turn it around in the sefer. I mean, the shita kabbalah time, make him a sefer. And there's this, et she'ira l'toko, but what he poured it into is asr. I can make the same deal. Only what you poured it into is asr, but the middle thing, which is the nitzak, is mutter. I mean, you make exactly the same deal. So clearly the Mishnah was not coming to address the nitzak at all, that's all. So in which case, mi'al lekel mishmamina. There's no way to be medayik here. Okay, what about this one? Toshma. Ha'mi'arem yichavit lebor. So somebody's pouring now from a barrel into a holding container of Isser. So ki luach ha'yored misfat chavit lemata asur. I hear it clearly. The kiluach, which is the nitzuk, is asur. As long as it's from the edge of the chavit and forward. Kiyugamah Reb Sheshet says, Reb Sheshet, you misunderstand the whole thing over here. This is talking about, and this is the case in our Mishnah, of an Oved Kochavim who is pouring. So therefore, whatever is poured out, which is, he's being ma'arez, which is asimi kocho, what's being poured out is an act of niso. That's the point. But anything that's still back in the kli has not been poured, so it's not yayin etzah. See, if the guy is the one pouring the bucket, so then I feel the guy with the chavita nami mitzvah, so why don't we say what's inside of the barrel that he's pouring from should also become awesome? Oh, and that goes back to the question of kayachter the chavim, right? Because this is not even magai de gavaracha, we call this kayachter before. And therefore, says the Gemara, kayachter the chavim. The whole element of kayach is minarabonon udiyasir. So the Rabbanan answered Kocho to give it a din of Yayin Nesa. The Gezerah was that Ahud Enofik Levaroi, whatever is being poured out, since that's the way that Nisuk is done. So that's it, where goes around. Gozbe Rabbanan. Ahud Levaroi, Gozbe Rabbanan. We never made our takana as to the contents of the barrel. Omer lo Reb Chista l'Hanus Habita. Reb Chista told these people who were selling wine, Ki Kayalta. If you want to avoid any of these kind of problems. See, before we were talking about a case where we had new containers and not the problem of their mixing with wine that was inside the container. So over there, Rob came up with this thing just to, you know, to make sure that there's the opinion that they gave Dhamim or whatever, if you don't know the Mashiach. But there the question is, it'll only become answer when a guy touches it. And so the guy touches it, you don't have a problem. But here, it's talking about pouring into containers that have wine in them. So then you got a problem, because you're going to be taking money from Isser. Not only that, if it remains now in touch with the wine, the Isser is going to go back up through the Nitzuk, if your Nitzuk is cheaper, and will answer your container. Therefore, make sure, obviously I'm not dealing here with the other issue, make sure you get the money up front and so on, but make sure that your cart fake it too fake. Or not sinafutse. Katfe ketufe means you cut off the flow before it hits the bottom. Not sinafutse means you throw something from afar. So there never is really that type of need. And that way you're not a problem. Omaru Rava Lahami Shvuchoi. Rava talked to the Jews who would work as people that had jobs to pour yayin from one container into another container. So he told them, Ki shachitu chamra. You're busy doing the work of pouring, make sure that lolikarev of the kochavim misagia b'hadayichu. Sometimes the guy may have rachmanis on his ear lifting a 100-pound barrel, he'll come to support you. But the problem is that you may take advantage of his support and let it lean on him. But in that case, dilma, what you might be doing over dilma mishtali, so you might forget for a moment, loosen your grip, and then the whole thing basically will be leaning on the gun. In which case, ka'ati mikoko, now the pouring is pouring from the korach of the gun, and then it becomes asur. Now, who got it? Asik chamra begishto vatishta. There's another maisa where a certain gentleman was taking taking wine from one barrel, pouring it into another barrel using a siphon. So what happens? Okay, so he gets the siphon going, and the wine is now flowing on its own. Comes along a guy, also other kachavim, anach yadi agishta.
And he touches the siphon where the wine is coming out. So now, what we have seems to be a classic question of Nitzar Chibur. Is the flow through the siphon considered to be a Chibur, what's coming out now in the other bar? No, it's not the Derech Nisuch of the siphon, it's the Negiah that answers over here.
So you
can have
the outside of the tube, or what?
No, the wine is coming out. Rava said the whole thing is also including the wine in the barrel that's above. Amalei Fatla Rava, or some say it was Rava Adabar Masa Rava, some say it was Ravina Rava. But wait a second. I mean, this is, we've been struggling with the issue of Nitzar Chibur now for years. And you're just casually coming along now and telling us that it's also B'mai, the Nitzar. Are you trying to say Shemana and Nitzar Chibur? Says Rava, no, this is a unique case. Because Nitzuk, generally speaking, is not a closed system. It's a question of whether now you're going to continue to pour, you're not going to continue to pour. It's Ketufa Ketafe. I mean, there's two barrels that happen to have a nitzuk at this moment between them because you're pouring. But once you've set up a siphon, you've created a closed system in which these two barrels are interrelated now without any further issue. And that interrelationship means that you have one big barrel. The question of whether now the wine that happens to be flowing through the siphon or whether it's already flowed through the siphon is immaterial to us. So Mamela, shining awesome, the Kule Khamra Gishta Ubad Gishta Goyer. The whole thing now is a system which is now self-contained. And it's going to continue to flow through the siphon without any further ado. And therefore it's all one thing.
Does that mean that it would be a problem if there was wine already in the container?
Of course. I mean, assuming it was literally touching. Otherwise, you'd have to go into the question of the nitzuk between the two places. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's still nitzuk,
but... Can you please explain how this siphon looks or works?
Yeah. You've never seen a siphon?
Siphons I know, but like hose and pan.
That's what they said.
So, he's touching the outside of the hose?
Yeah, not the outside, he's touching the wine as it comes out of the hose. He put his finger on the wine.
So... down at the bottom where it's not going directly into the barrel then. So that's what I'm trying to say.
When it comes out of the hose, there's no bottom. There's a place where the hose is now pouring out into the lower barrel.
So
he touches the wine as it comes out.
That's what I didn't understand. There was a space between the two.
But surely if that is the case, then it could be a katufi, which is how we say it. You could stop it and start it and stop it and start it with the siphon.
But the siphon is done and finished. If you want to stop it, you have to stop it. The nitzuk is something that you need to pour. The siphon does not require any further involvement of human being.
You could stop it, he's saying.
Yeah, that doesn't matter, but you could stop it. I mean, who cares, but you could. He's only defining. All he's saying is that it's a closed system that requires no input of energy of any kind.
So it's the same as having a tap at the bottom of the barrel. Why use a siphon as an example?
No, it's not the same as the tap on the bottom of the barrel.
Initial case.
Oh, you mean in a case where one barrel was pouring and you would touch the wine? Absolutely. There was no question about that.
It's only the bottom.
If you actually touch the nitzuk, but you actually touch the thing, and nothing on it. Sure, then it's all one thing.
Right.
No, the chiddush over here is that you don't seem to be touching the barrel, you're touching something that's 10 feet away. And nonetheless, you're saying that all
it is the same barrel.
It is basically the same barrel. Omar Mazur, the regular Nakra Knishtinyan, which is kani kani, really. In other words, it means a happy day straw device, is what it really means, dancing around with straws. So what it is a long thing in which everybody gets a chance to suck at a straw while somebody's pouring in the drinks on the top.
Sort of like
it's a party thing.
One of those Swedish things that they pour.
No, I was thinking of like the hookahs they do.
Okay, so it's basically a party kind of thing in which it's fun and everybody's sipping out of the same container whenever you're pouring into it. And the Shiloh over here is, if the goy is sucking out of one end, and the Jew is sucking out of the other end, does the wine in the middle, does the whole thing now become usher because the guy is sucking the wine? So says the Gemara, it's mutter. But of course, animita the cut on plastic is only if the Jew stops first. If the guy stops first and the wine comes back out of his mouth, it goes back into the mixture, which is something that the guy essentially now has poured back into the mixture. So now it becomes the maga of the akum that ushers the wine. So then, if the Jew has cut him a posak, the guy has cut him a posak low, then he couldn't do it. Now, Rabbi Bar Avuna came to the Reshkavus's house, and they wanted to drink out of this stuff. V'shoyelu l'mishta b'kenishkinan, and he said it's okay. In fact, some even say it was Rabbi Bar Avuna himself who drank from this thing, and he was ishti b'kenishkinan. The Tosis is a little upset about that. I mean, how did he know, even if you're telling me it's not a kibur, I mean, how did he put himself in a situation as an Adam Gadol about it to know the guy didn't stop drinking first? I mean, you're drinking at any time. You don't realize this guy stopped drinking.
We know
the guy doesn't
stop drinking first.
Aha, that's interesting. Tosfos suggests that who's to say there was any guy there? So is this a war, then, so what's the whole thing about that he was here land? So Tosfos saying this little piece may not be Nogea, the piece above. And all that he was saying was that in terms of party tricks, it was mutter. Because you might have thought to aser party tricks because of the Purban. Because you're not supposed to do things that cause people to get, you know, too much levity. So in the middle of this kind of thing, it's always you're bumping into the next guy. You know, it's always fun. Everybody's got his little straw. So no, he said that was fine. It's not considered to be overly happy, even this month, I think. That's a different way of looking at it. So how was your Shabbat, Jack?